With this particular Sunday, the church brings to a close the Christmas season. For many of us, we go, well, the Christmas season has been closed since the 27th of December. So why is the church just bringing the Christmas season to a close now? And really, it is because, if we think about it, we celebrate at Christmas the most significant miracle in the history of the human race. That indeed the Lord our God has chosen to become flesh and dwell in our midst. And throughout this Christmas season, what we have had the opportunity to do is sit down and reflect and pray over the marvel of this mystery from several different angles. Christmas itself brings us to the simplicity, the beauty, the gentleness, and the intimacy of a mother giving birth to her child in the midst of the protection of her husband, Joseph. Joseph, who provides for her the very best that is possible for him at that time, finally a safe place where she could have her child. And we begin our meditation in that wonderful, simple, and quiet moment of childbirth. And a mother and father becoming responsible for someone new in their lives. And then suddenly, in the midst of that very intimate, quiet, and lovely moment, we have angels from on high, the celestial powers themselves, opening the skies and singing, "There is great news which shall be to all the people." And to whom do they bring this news? What does the church ask us to think about at that point? But the news is brought to the shepherds, to the earth people, to the people as fundamental and basic to a society as any group of people ever have been, the shepherds to the people of Israel at that time. And it is to them that this great announcement is made, the simple, hardworking, definite, present shepherd, who then comes and adores that which he has been told about and goes out and tells the whole neighborhood what is going on. Following that marvelous meditation and prayer on Christmas Day, we move to the Feast of the Holy Family. The Feast of the Holy Family. That this Word of God, this Word made flesh and dwelling in our midst, lives with us in the most fundamental reality of our human life, the family structure. To be raised, to be loved, to be taught as any other human being growing up is taught and raised and loved. That God has chosen to be in our midst in that most real sense that we experience life as family, as mom and dad and the children, that basic reality of our society. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is raised, the Holy Family. Then suddenly, after that, on the octave day of Christmas, on January the 1st, the church suddenly steps back and it looks at this marvel, at this wonder, and it says, we can celebrate the reality of Mary, the Mother of God. We understand this miracle of gift from God is so thoroughly complete, so absolutely perfect, the joining of the divinity of our God with our humanity, the intimacy and completeness and thoroughness of that union is so profound that we dare to say, Mary is the Mother of God. The great theologians use a word that I think they give us just so we'll be awed by the word. It's called the hypostatic union. The union of the divine and the human natures. But the marvel of it, and what we celebrate on the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, is that it is so absolutely complete and perfect. The union of these natures is so thorough. It was in that realization, and it was in that teaching of who is Jesus, the church came up with that marvelous word of Theotokos, that Mary is the God-bearer, the Mother of God. And then from this reflection, from this realization, we suddenly have these three strangers coming across the world to adore the newborn king. These three Gentiles. The shepherds were part of the chosen people. The shepherds were part of the history of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Magi are strangers, strangers from another land, who suddenly come to adore the newborn king. Suddenly in this, the church helps us reflect that this Redeemer, this Savior, this Word made flesh that dwells in our midst is not just brought to the chosen race. He is not brought only to the people of Israel, but He is brought to all of us. Really, for us, we Gentiles, Epiphany is our Christmas when He is given to us. And who comes but these strange Gentiles, and what do they bring? And what does their gift tell us? And how do we reflect on that? These three kings, three magi, three seers, whatever we want to call them, bring gold. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? They're coming to honor the newborn king of the Jews. So of course they would bring gold. That makes all kinds of sense. And they bring frankincense. Frankincense because it is a source of adoration and worship before the divinity. So that they understand that this newborn king is also divine. And into that mixture of royalty and divinity, they bring myrrh. Myrrh, the sign of suffering, the sign of pain, the sign that this divine king will be a suffering servant for the salvation of his people. Again, we reflect on the marvel of a God who would come into our midst to lead, govern, guide, love, and suffer for us. Who is this Jesus, the Son of Mary? And so finally today, out of the clouds of heaven comes the proclamation of God the Father himself. Not angels telling us today, not magi coming from wherever, to tell us today, but today the voice is God the Father. This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Another version of the gospel adds a very important statement to that. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The marvel of divinity, so loving humanity, that becomes so thoroughly one with us that the mother of that Son can be called Mother of God. The wonder of a God who cares so much for us that he comes not only to govern but to suffer on our behalf. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the Word made flesh and dwells in a manger.